حي على الفلاح.
The Prophet ﷺ said that Dajjal will come and he will climb Uhud, the mountain of Uhud in Medina. And he will look at Medina and he will say to his followers, his companions, "Do you see that white palace? That is the masjid or the mosque of Ahmad." This hadith is amazing and it's further proof that the Prophet ﷺ is a genuine prophet. The Prophet ﷺ then says, then he will come to Medina. In the same hadith, he will find on each gateway of it an angel with a sword drawn or unsheathed. So he will come to the wasteland of Al-Jurf and he will set up his camp there. So he can't enter the city of Al-Madina, he can't enter the city of Mecca, and he can't enter Al-Aqsa itself, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, but he can enter the cities there. So now he wants to get followers, he wants to get people out of Medina. How will that happen? So he puts up his camp there at Al-Jurf. Then Medina will shake three shakes, and there will not remain a male hypocrite, nor a female hypocrite, nor a male evildoer, nor a female evildoer, except that they will go out to them, and that is the day of riddance. They will go out to a Dajjal and join him. That is the day of riddance. Okay, we mentioned that he commands the earth to bring out its vegetation, and he will command the sky to bring down rain, and animals will eat and become fattened immediately. And he will leave those who believe in him in that good state. And if a village disbelieves in him, he will leave them in a worse state than they were in. What's interesting is that he will come by a land and he will call out to the treasures under the earth. Whatever gold, ores, jewels are under the earth, he will just call out to them. And it will come out immediately and it will follow him, like the hadith says, like a swarm of bees. So meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him these abilities. These are not miracles to show that he is righteous or anything, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him these miracles or these out of the ordinary abilities to sell his story that he is the creator. And these are not considered miracles. And the scholars mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he might allow something out of the ordinary to happen at the hands of someone, part of his test, not part of his righteousness. And then we mentioned how the jinn will disguise themselves, or come as someone's parents and tell them, "This is your Lord, believe in him." And so we see that it is really a difficult and a tough test. Quickly, we want to mention the story mentioned in Sahih Muslim, and that is of the Dajjal and what is known as the greatest martyr in the sight of Allah. So this young man, who is a believer, he goes towards the Dajjal. He will meet the army of the Dajjal, and then they will ask him, "Do you believe in him?" And he will say, "No." So they take him to the Dajjal. This young man now sees the Dajjal, and the Prophet ﷺ described him. So the young man tells everybody around him that this is the Dajjal the Prophet ﷺ warned us about. I mean, look at him, kafir, and the bad eye, how could it be your Lord? He's telling them, look, it's clear, it's obvious. And he will say that you are the Masih al-Dajjal, the false Masih here. So the Dajjal then will cut this man in half, and he will walk between the two halves. And then he'll come back and he'll order him to stand up, and he'll be put back together. And he's completely alive in mere seconds. And then the Dajjal again will ask him, "Do you believe in me? Do you believe that I am your Lord?" And now the young man comes back smiling. And he says, "Now I'm even more sure that you are the Dajjal." Number one, why was he smiling? Two, why is he more certain now? You think anyone else would say, "Well, you brought me back from life. Yeah, I actually think I do believe in you." So why was he more certain? Because, and here's the importance of why we study this subject matter. The scholars say because he recognized he was a young man in the hadith. He heard about himself for years. He used to, you know, he was like, "Oh, that was me? I used to listen to Signs of the Hour with Kamal al-Makki and he was talking about myself." So he realizes that that's me. So he's smiling now and he says, "Now I'm even more sure that you are the Dajjal." And this is very, very bad for the Dajjal. He's got his followers here. It's really bad for him and embarrassing. So what does he do? He throws him into what appears to be a fire, but the Prophet ﷺ says that he will actually be thrown into al-Jannah and he will be ذَلِكَ أَعْظَمُ النَّاسِ شَهَادَةً عِنْدَ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. We mentioned that the Dajjal is real. he is not symbolic. Anyone who says the Dajjal is a symbol, number one, does not understand the Arabic language. Number two, does not understand the hadith, his deen, language. What else can I say? Like, there's no room to read all this about the Dajjal and conclude that this is a system or a new world order or a secret society. There is no way. Anybody, any speaker that you hear speaks like that, do not listen to them at all. Don't listen to anything they say about any topic, because one, they lack very clear and simple understanding, and two, they're really relaxed with giving their own interpretation to texts that are super clear. So don't listen to people who say things like that. The Dajjal does not live in the Bermuda Triangle, and there's nothing at all in the Bermuda Triangle. And it's not for us to become paranoid and always talk about the Dajjal. And that's why speakers that are always spooking their audience with the Dajjal will come and the Dajjal this and that, that is not correct. And it's not even right for you to be spending your time always contemplating and trying to estimate when the Dajjal will come. Look at this wonderful, this is a hadith from Ibn Majah. This is Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu. He says, the Prophet ﷺ came out to us. I want you to see what a great murabbi and what a great leader the Prophet ﷺ was here. The Prophet ﷺ came out to us when we were discussing the Dajjal and said, should I not tell you that which I fear for you more than the Dajjal? You're not going to live long enough to see the Dajjal. So I'm going to tell you about something that is more dangerous for you than this Dajjal. We said, yes, tell us. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hidden shirk. When a man stands to pray and makes it look good because he sees a man looking at him. And it's hidden shirk because it is inconspicuous and it is hard to detect. So that doesn't mean don't learn about the Dajjal, don't talk about the Dajjal or tell others about him, but don't obsess about the Dajjal. Now we've got some interesting things here. When does the Dajjal die? We know that he shows up during the time of the Mahdi. So Muslims go through a number of nice victories, then the Dajjal emerges due to an intense anger that he will feel. And then the Mahdi puts together an army, they have a fight, day one, incredible, incredible battle. Then they wake up for Fajr, and they're going to pray Fajr, and it's going to be day two of battles. So they wake up for Fajr, and they make the Iqamah for that Fajr. And before the Mahdi says, Allahu Akbar, to lead the people in Salah, they see Isa alayhi salam descending, coming down in the ranks of the Muslims. So Isa alayhi salam, Al-Masih, Isa ibn Maryam. Why is he called Al-Masih, the Messiah, or the Anointed One? Some scholars said that he would not wipe over someone who was afflicted, ill, sick, disease, whatever. He would not wipe over that person except they become healed immediately. That's one. That he was anointed with oil when he came out of his mother's womb. He was already anointed with oil when he came out. That's a second. The third, that Zakariya alayhi salam anointed him with oil. So that he became known as Al-Masih. A fourth explanation, because he used to travel the earth. And then the last one says that Al-Masih means As-Siddiq. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. And of course, the people thought that they crucified him, but they did not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the likeness of Isa alayhi salam into someone else, and that person was crucified and Isa alayhi salam was saved. His descent. So we started describing after that first day of battle. Next morning, people are about to pray Fajr. They make the Iqama already. The Mahdi is about to lead the Salah. And then they look up and they see Isa alayhi salam. He's putting a hand on the wing of one angel and his other hand is on the wing of another angel. And he's descending like this. So now they all, can you just imagine this Fajr, right? Everybody's standing in line. They hear the Iqam and then they look up and they see, not only do they see one of the five greatest prophets ever, they also see two angels with their own eyes. So they see something amazing happening. Two angels coming down and Isa alayhi salam coming down. A lot of interesting things here. He's descending at the white minaret in the eastern side of Damascus. Let's start with that. Something interesting that happened in the year 741 after the Hijrah. The Christians destroyed a minaret in a masjid there. Now, some scholars think the white minaret here is referring to the gate of old Damascus. Others are saying that this is a masjid that was built by the Umayyads and which would what they refer to now as al-Masjid al-Amawi, the Umayyad Mosque in Damascus, Syria. The sixth Khalifa, al-Walid here, he had this masjid built. Now, what's interesting is in the year 741 after the Hijrah, and during this time, Ibn Kathir writes about this, rahimahullah, there was the Christians there in Damascus, they came and they destroyed a minaret of one of the masajid. Now, they don't have the right to destroy the minaret of the masjid. And even though the Muslims are the majority, the Muslims wouldn't have the right to destroy a church. So they didn't have the right to do that. So the Khalifa forced them to rebuild it from their own money. But what's interesting is, they weren't cheap. And they built it with white stones. So now suddenly, there is a white minaret standing there. So Ibn Kathir and those who he wrote about this, they said that when they saw that white minaret, they're like, now this is just like the hadith. And then Isa alayhi salam descends down on the side of a white minaret on the eastern side of Damascus. Could that be the exact minaret? And by the way, if you Google white minaret, you'll see it. It's still standing. What's amazing is that it could very well be. Why? Because, and there's some irony here, that it was Isa alayhi salam comes down at this white minaret that was built by Christians with Christian money, who think he's gonna come down on their side, but he actually comes down on the side of the Muslims at the site that was built, constructed and built with their own money. Anyways, the point is, he comes down at this white minaret. And the Muslims, when they see that, of course, they're going to be so pleased. And everyone's going to run to him. And he will wipe over their face and tell them their place, their rank in Jannah. And by the way, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever of his ummah, he said, whoever of you is alive at the time of Isa alayhi salam, give him a salam from me. So you have to go to him and say, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives you a salam. And now they come back, they're gonna pray Fajr. So the Mahdi tells Isa alayhi salam, advance, Ya Ruh Allah. Why Ruh Allah here? Because when you attribute the Ruh to Allah, it's an honor. So then Isa alayhi salam pushes the Mahdi from his shoulder. He said, the Iqama was made for you. And the Mahdi then leads Isa alayhi salam in Salah. I explained last time, the Mahdi has the Quran, Isa alayhi salam has the Injil. It's also an indication of respect. And it's also to indicate that Isa alayhi salam does not come as a new prophet, but as a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that's why there's a hadith where the Prophet says, so he's from amongst us, from our ummah, the man that Isa alayhi salam prays behind. And this is the Mahdi who leads Isa alayhi salam in the Fajr Salah. Let me read this hadith here. And what is beautiful is that Isa alayhi salam descends. The Prophet described what color he's wearing, the garment, his hair, what it looks like. And there's always a clear description, physical description of Isa alayhi salam, and so that is so that we don't confuse him with the other Masih, the false Masih, the Dajjal. His description, he is medium height. And his hair is dangling. And the Prophet would describe that it looks like it's wet, but it's not wet. Meaning it's very limp, very soft hair. So when he moves his head forward or looks down, his hair drops as if it's wet, but it's not wet, it's just soft. So then, reddish white complexion, straight long hair. Remember the Dajjal? Curly, thick hair. Here, straight long hair. And this is very specific. When your hair is limma, it means its length is exactly to the earlobe. When it's jumma, it's longer and below the earlobe. Now, and then the Prophet ﷺ, even further, he said, Urwa ibn Mas'ud resembles him the most, as far as like height and body and appearance, just looks like him. Okay, here's our hadith from Sahih Muslim. Let me read it through. It's a really, really good hadith. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates, the Prophet ﷺ said, the prophets are paternal brothers. Their mothers are different, but their religion is one. I, more than any of mankind, have more rights to Isa, the son of Maryam, than anyone else, of course. Why? He's saying, because for there was no prophet between him and I. He will descend, and if you see him, know him. He's a well-built man, the color of his skin between red and white. He will descend while wearing two long light yellow garments, and his head appears to be dripping water, even though no moisture touched it. He will break the cross. So this is the symbol now, because they're saying he died on the cross and he's the Son of God who died on the cross, astaghfirullah. So he will break the cross, and that will symbolize that he never taught that and does not accept that, and that is not acceptable. So he will break the cross. And kill the pig. One pig as a symbol. Others said there will be no more pigs on earth. The whole point is the symbolizing, you know, or what it represents here. And he will banish the jizya and will call the people to Islam. During his time, Allah will destroy all religions except Islam, and Allah will destroy al-Masih al-Dajjal. Safety will then fill the earth so much so that the lions will mingle with camels, and tigers with cattle, and wolves with sheep. And children will play with snakes, and they will not harm them. And then Isa will remain for 40 years, and then he will die, and the Muslims will offer the funeral prayer for him. Isa alayhi salam comes down as a warrior, the most powerful warrior. He's not coming down to say, turn the other cheek, or any of that stuff. He's coming down to destroy the Dajjal and destroy the army of the Dajjal. So what happens? Isa alayhi salam descends, and any disbeliever will die just from the breathing, from Isa alayhi salam breathing, they will die. So how far does his breath go? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, wherever his eyes end, that's where his breath goes. So if he looks from this way until the horizon, every disbeliever will get his breath and he'll drop dead, just like dominoes. Then he turns this way and they just drop dead. Then he looks this way and they just drop dead until as far as his eyes can see. And imagine having a warrior like that in your army. When the Dajjal sees Isa alayhi salam, he begins to dissolve, to disintegrate, the same way salt dissolves in water. So the Dajjal will run when he sees Isa alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam will chase him, and then when he gets near the gates of Lud near Jerusalem, he will stab him with a spear and then raise the spear up and show everyone the blood. What's the wisdom? See, if he just dissolves, oh, he just left his human form. He just left his worldly body, his physical body, and went back to the heavens. They'll make up a story. But if they see blood on the spear, they see him get speared right in front of them, what story can you make up now? We thought this guy was our Lord and our Creator, and he just got hit with a spear, and he's bleeding and he's dead. There is no way around it. That's why that's the wisdom behind why Isa alayhi salam will still chase him, catch him at the gate of Lud, to show everyone the blood. Amazing, right? Amazing, powerful, victorious moments here. Now, and so what happens? He becomes the next leader. This is in Sunan Ibn Majah. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by the one in whose hand is my soul, the son of Maryam will pass by the way of Rawha, making the intention of Hajj, and then Umrah, or making the intention of both of them together. Then the Prophet mentioned in another narration that he shall stand at my grave. This is Isa alayhi salam, and he will say, Ya Muhammad, and I will answer him. So now we have the leader is Isa alayhi salam. He will rule with the sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it will be a time of peace and justice, like we mentioned. These would be the best people alive on earth, and one sajda is more valuable to them than the whole world and everything that's in it, and there will be barakah. But yes, Isa alayhi salam will remain for 40 years, then he will die, then the Muslims will bury him. Some scholars even believe they will bury him with the Prophet and Abu Bakr and Umar, because there is a spot actually for one person. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. There is a big thing that we're missing, and a big event, and something that happens before that, before the times of good, peace and tranquility and righteousness. There's something very, very serious. Isa alayhi salam catches up to the Dajjal. Then the hadith says, so while they're in that situation, someone announces that Ya'juj and Ma'juj have broken loose. This is a big problem. This is a big issue. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to Isa alayhi salam that you cannot handle Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So go and hide with my servants in the mountain of At-Tur. We're going to get to all of that. Who are Ya'juj and Ma'juj?